somebody to say, you know what, I'm for you, not against you. Never heard nothing like that. Never did in my life. Christmas would come, I'd watch these guys open presents, never received a card. I wound up staying overseas for 6 years in Korea, working on the military, the DMZ. I didn't want to go home. I had nothing to go home to. Life was miserable for me. I re-enlisted after 3.5 years for 3 more years. I was in the military for a total of 7 years. And the only way I would re-enlist is if they gave me $6,000 cash bonus, and they did. I spent that $6,000 partying in 30 days. I mean, I partied. And I blew every dime I had. I didn't realize how bad I was until later on. When you were a sergeant in the Army, you could have a room in the barracks where you could build a wall around your bunk out of plywood, and that would be like your room because you were a sergeant. So I had a private room like that I could go to. It didn't have a top on it. It just had the boards up. If you lost your key to the lock, you just climb over the bunk, climb over the wall, get in bed. So I did that a lot. But for some reason, one night, I was really in bad shape, got drunk, and came back from downtown and in Korea, and I climbed over that wall, and I passed out in that bunk. And the next thing I remember, I heard bells ringing. It was a Sunday morning. I heard church bells ringing. And something said to me, you need to get out of this country. And I thought, you know what? I do. I need to get out of here. I'd been over here 6 years. I didn't know anybody, family, where they were, what they were doing. It didn't really matter. I just felt like I needed to leave. I look back on that now. I could see that that was the Lord dealing with me and didn't even know it. I went to the orderly room. I got showered. I got cleaned up. I went to the orderly room, and I told him, I said, I want out of here. I want to go back to the States. My company commander said, Morse, said, you're not going nowhere. Said, you got another year to go? Said, you're staying right here. I said, no. I said, I'm leaving here. I said, I'm going to write to congressman, tell him I've been over here 6 years, and I want to go home. 2 weeks later, I had orders to go to Fort Campbell, Kentucky. I didn't have to write nobody. They wanted to send me to Fort Campbell, Kentucky. I left Korea after 6 years, got to Fort Campbell, Kentucky. I found out when I got there that I was an alcoholic. Drugs were a big part of my life. I would try to get drunk after drinking that stuff in Korea, and I couldn't hardly get drunk. I was in bad shape, full of hatred, full of bitterness. Didn't have no dealings with my family for a long time. Got to Fort Campbell, and after I got there, I would drive from Fort Campbell up to Scott Street in Covington, and I had a sister that would fix me up with her girlfriends, and we'd go party on the weekend. So I would drive from Fort Campbell up to Scott Street and stay with my sister once in a while and go out and party. In July of 77, I was up at my sister's house. And I was getting ready to go out to party, and I was sitting out front. And I had another sister that went to church. She went to Brother Stan's church. And I was sitting outside. It was on the 4th of July weekend. And I was drinking a bottle of whiskey. She pulled up, and she said, Phil, she said, we're in revival. Would you go to church with me? And I said, let me ask you something. I said, do I offer you my whiskey? She said, no. I said, don't offer me your church. I'll tell you why. My mom would go to church, and they'd come out of church, and they'd cuss, and they'd smoke, and they'd talk about everybody in church. I never saw nobody in church that had anything that I didn't have. If you go to the church, somebody's watching you, people. You may not realize it, but somebody's watching you. When I was a little boy, I saw that, and I didn't see anybody that had anything that I didn't have. So I told her, I said, no, I don't go to your church, and I don't want nothing to do with your people. Little did I know, a month later, in August the 28th, I came up to my sister's house to party. I got so messed up, I wrecked my car, totaled it. I had a 357 Magnum and a 38. I actually was contemplating committing suicide. My life was a total mess. I had nothing and I had nobody. I was in trouble, facing 10 years in the penitentiary where I'd gotten in trouble. I knew that my life was coming to the end. And I knew it was going to be just like my mom and dad said. I'd never be nothing. I'd never be nobody. It was in my blood. I was going to wind up just like them or wind up dead. I had no hope. No hope. I didn't care what people thought about me. If somebody looked at me funny, I'd walk up and just bust them. I was hoping somebody would just kill me or something would happen to me because I was miserable. Now, people say, how in the world can you get like that? I'm telling you, there's people in today's society, right today, all they want is somebody to love them. That's all they want. They don't want the money. They don't want all the prosperity. They want somebody to love them. Somebody to understand. Somebody that'll care. You can't buy that, folks. If I could have bought that, brother, I'd have bought that. You can't buy that. I'd wrecked my car that night, and somebody put me in a taxi. And as I don't know what time it was, but they took me to 12th and Scott Street in Covington, opened the door and rolled me out on the concrete sidewalk, right by my sister's house. I remember I crawled up her steps, pushed her door open with my head, crawled in her house, vomit all over her floor, and passed out drunk in my own vomit. That was my life in a nutshell. That's where I laid. I laid there in the night. She didn't know I was there. I laid there, I don't know how long I was out. I heard a voice say, Philip. And I sat up and my head was a-spinning. And I looked around and it was pitch dark. And I thought, you're just hearing things. I fell back over. I don't know how long I laid there. But I heard a voice say, Philip, so loud that I sat straight up. And when I did, I was sober. I looked around and I said, what? And there was a voice that said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. I never heard anything like that. I jumped up off that floor and I run into my sister's room. I jerked her out of bed. She started screaming. I said, I come in here drunk. I passed out on your floor. I said, somebody called my name. She said, what do you mean? I said, somebody said, Philip, come unto me and I'll give you rest. I didn't know that was in the Bible. She said, Philip, that's the Lord calling you. I said, why would he call me? I don't know him. Why would he even think of me? How did he know my name? How did he know where I was? I just couldn't understand that. My heart was pounding so hard and so fast, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I said, what's he doing in here? Where did he come from? I mean, I had all these questions going through my mind. Why would he deal with me? Why would he save me? So I asked her, I said, my other sister that's going to church, I said, call her house. She said, it's 4 a.m. I said, I don't care what time it is, call her. She picked the phone up, and I grabbed the phone, and I said, listen. I said, somebody called my name and said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. I said, I don't know what's going on, but I said, if you got church tonight, I'll go. She said, we're still in revival. She said, that revival's been going on for 6 weeks. I said, well, you come get me, and it's a Saturday night. So I walked the floors. I smoked cigarettes all day, and I kept asking my sister, why did he come in here? Why did he call my name? How did he know I was here? I didn't understand all that. And I'm telling you, when she showed up that night, my heart was a-pounding, and I was fighting with myself. Should I go? Should I not go? Should I stay here? And I thought, man, if you stay here, you're going to drop dead. So I told her she'd come in to get me, and I said, I want to tell you something before we leave here. First one touches me, I'll knock them out. I said, I know how them churches are. They pull you to the front. They beat you on your back. I said, they'll hold you down, say, turn loose, get up, or whatever. But I said, I don't want nobody touching me. She said, Phil, honey, you just go. She said, nobody will touch you. I thought, how you know that? I mean, I know how they were. I went to church with her and her husband that night. We walked in this church, and it was a small church, but it looked big to me.